Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Consider your home for a few minutes. How many rooms does it have? I'm guessing that you probably have a kitchen, a bathroom, a bedroom, a living room, and maybe some other rooms as well. But consider your house a little bit deeper. In your kitchen, do you have a built-in stove, or perhaps a place that is open for a stove to be put in? What about a refrigerator? Again, do you have one that's built in, or perhaps just a place that was available for the fridge to be put there? Do you have cabinets? Perhaps you have one row, or perhaps you have a couple. Maybe one up above and one down below, or two down below, or two up above. What about your living room? Is there room for you and a few guests to visit? Do you have an entertainment console for your TV and things like that? Or was there room for one to be put in? Do you have enough lights in there? Do you have a single overhead light or a few? Or do you have lamps? Do you have enough electrical outlets for your TV and those lamps? Does your house have one bathroom or a couple? For each of those bathrooms, there's probably a toilet, but do you also have a tub or a shower in one or both of those? Is there a window? Is there a fan? What about bedrooms? Does your house have one bedroom or two bedroom or maybe a few bedrooms? Is there a fan for when the summer heat comes? There's probably room for your bed to be in there. Hello? I see somebody waving up front, so I thought I should say hello. There's probably room for a bed in there, but then also you have bureaus and dressers, and again, these can be built in, or perhaps you had room to put them in. And your bedroom probably also has a closet. Is it one closet? Is it a walk-in closet? Are there shelves in your closet? What am I getting at with all these questions? To show you that your house is a system of pieces put together to function together. In order for those pieces to work in coordination, there was likely a blueprint that was drawn up by someone, if not a few people. And perhaps the blueprint actually went through a couple different stages before it got to the final product. Someone designed your house to be the way that it is. Most of you already know that. In fact, some of you have built houses or have built other buildings as well, so you know the process. Any builder, like any creative person, has their own way of doing things, their own style, their own signature touch, the way for distinguishing that it was that person who did it and not another. In our epistle text, the author of the letter Hebrews raises the question, who would give the finished product more glory than the builder? The author begins this chapter writing, therefore. Before we can continue, we have to find out what the therefore was referring to. At the end of the previous paragraph, the author wrote, for because he, that is Jesus, himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And then he continues, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Here the author is making a distinction between Jesus and Moses, both servants of God. So the question is, why was he doing this? He is reminding his hearers why they should not return to Judaism. You see, at the time of this letter, there was great dissension going on in the world of religion. Some people were saying one thing and other people were saying another thing. One group of people were saying, don't eat unclean animals. And another group of people was saying, go ahead, eat the unclean animals. And there was all kinds of confusion. And so, like any time, there's great confusion. Some people were thinking, well, why don't we just go back to the old way of doing things? Why don't we go back to the way of Moses? Back to the old covenant. At the beginning of his case for why they should not return to Judaism, the author points out that Moses was indeed a faithful servant of God. But just as Moses was faithful in all God's house, so was Jesus. And that is important for us today, being transfiguration, which we just heard related to us in our gospel text. Who was there at the transfiguration? Some of the disciples, Jesus, Elijah, and yes, also Moses. The Old Testament and the Old Covenant have their purpose. They have their place in our history, yes, even as Christians. The Old Testament servants of God paved the way for the one who was coming, who would deliver us from our sin. But why do we need a deliverance? Why do we need a Savior? Because the law, which was given through Moses, shows us our sin. It shows us that we have not kept God our Maker first. It shows you your sin. You have not kept God your Maker first. And so we had the prophets who wrote of the one who was coming, prophets like Elijah. Yet Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Now perhaps in summers or in the winters or at different times of the year, you go on vacations. And as you're going on vacations in different locations, perhaps you've gone through some open houses. If you've been to Chicago, Illinois, or Springfield, Illinois, or Madison, Wisconsin, you might have taken a tour through a house that was designed by the same person, Frank Lloyd Wright. His houses were works of art. They were very complex buildings. Some of them had large rooms and some of them had small rooms, and they were all put together in such a way that was very artistic. They had the modern technology of the time. And yet each of them was designed in such a way that people could tell afterward they were designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. This is the same is true of people. We're very complex. We have different gifts and abilities, as Paul has been telling us over the last couple weeks. And yet we were all created in the image of our Maker, of our Builder. We all have noses, mouths, skin color, ears, hair color, and some of those things are different and some of them are the same. But overall, we are all the same. Yet there was one man who was different. Unlike the disciples with him there on the mount, and yes, even different than Moses and Elijah, Jesus was transfigured. It was made known to us that he is the Son of God, God himself in human flesh. It was another one of those Dr. Watson moments, revealing that Jesus was more than just true man. True man, yes, but also true God. Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Jesus, when he was transfigured, showed his divinity. He showed that he was our Maker among us. And the author of Hebrews knew it, as did his hearers who were considering turning away from the word of Jesus. Do you ever consider turning away from the word of Jesus? If so, consider what you are turning toward. No matter what philosophy, no matter what ideology, no matter what idea or concept or thing you are turning to, it is a creation. It is another thing that has been built by our Maker. And so if you turn away from the word of God, you are turning to the word of man, or to Satan, or to a demon, or to another human being, another created item. You give credit of the Maker to his works. That is what you do whenever you stray from God's law. You turn from his word and turn toward some created thing, whether it be yourself or another person or another thing. You have sinned against your Maker, but don't despair. As Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets have attested, Jesus has come to take away your sin. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, testifying to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Jesus came to the world for this purpose, to free you from your bondage to sin, your unfaithfulness to your Maker. He came as your Maker to make you pleasing to your Maker again. As God's Son, shown through the events of the Transfiguration, Jesus went from that mount, the Mount of Transfiguration, and went to the Mount of Calvary. And when he went there with your sins on his body, and he put them to death on the instrument of the cross in his own body. He took your sins and he died there, taking your punishment in your place. Moses and Elijah and even the author of Hebrews point us to this event. And we ourselves look back in praise and honor, giving God his due. We do this because he is our Maker. He is our Builder. He is the one who built everything. And we are in his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in hope. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and our Maker himself is that hope. He is your hope for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.